views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Good evening.
In 2000, Saddam Hussein announced Iraqi oil would be traded in
Euros. Brother David coming at you. And this is going to be an exciting show tonight. I was hoping that we could connect with Dave, but sometimes our schedules just don't mix the way we like them to. So we accept the circumstance and move forward. I have missed you, my brothers and sisters. Literally, I feel like I've been away on a retreat, but yet I was a working retreat, so it's going to be all good. A lot of things that have been happening in the news lately literally are built on specific idealisms. The reason why I say specific idealisms is because there are thousands and thousands of interesting groups that are vying for the format to be able to get into the political arena. One of the things that are on the forefront right now is Russia. I'm going to tell you something. We'll never know the true story of Russia. Why? Because there's a lot of things that they're not telling us that is involved in that process. So once again, I say this, don't hold your breath on things that's going on outside of your truth, because outside of your truth, you have no control. One of the unique things about being in the circumstance that we are in, though, is that we are bombarded with this stuff all the time. And literally, to be able to discern what is right or what is wrong is insignificant, because in reality, they don't really operate on what we think. They operate on what they think. Okay, that's why you see Trump just doing all this here tweeting about different things. Hey, take for instance the NFL right now. You realize the NFL is about to start and they're starting to put a lid on Jimmy Jones down there because he's starting too much stuff. He's starting too much trash, talking about how black players cannot protest during the national anthem. Now you know he's talking about the black players. Come on. And now you got people coming up front, the sympathizers. So it's sadly enough. In every circumstances, you're always going to have those people who can be pacified to sympathize. You know what I mean? So although they're trying to make you look at this from a sympathetic point of view, they're not really seeing that the changes that are needed are not being acted yet. Literally, we got a political structure now that doesn't even want to identify its faults, its frailties. And there's a reason for that. And let me give you some insights that literally I've been holding on to. Why? Because a lot of times, it's, like I said, it's insignificant to me. But I know it's good for people to know, all right? So let me tell you this here for those people who are wondering why so much attack on people of color. Well, it's very simple. The number of non-Hispanic white people in the United States have decreased for the first time in the nation's history from 2015 to 2016. Let me repeat that in a different way. The number of non-Hispanic white people in the United States. What does that mean? That means that white people's numbers are decreasing. And you know what's interesting about that? They knew this was coming a long time ago. So this is why you hear them warmongering with such internal fear. The data shows that the nation's white population is aging rapidly, and Americans decline their decisions to have families. In other words, those Americans who are at the age of really having children, they're putting that decision off. Okay? And then when you look at that there, followed by the foreign immigrants from European countries that have really slowed down. Not actually stopped, but it has slowed down so much it would never keep pace with the people, with the growth of the people of color. And when I say that, I mean at the same time the minorities are growing at an alarming rate. You see what I'm saying? And the demographic, listen, they're keeping track of this. Don't make no mistake. The demographic has shifted and has been doing that for decades in the making. The average check, and this really blew my mind when I was really getting into my content. The average Hispanic white American, the average non-Hispanic white American is 43.5 years old, according to the new data. The average Hispanic American, by contrast, is 29.3 years old. See? So they could see that in the long run, this is going to be a short term. Now, why do they use the term non-Hispanic or Hispanic American? They use the term because they don't want to say people of color. That's really what it comes down to. And demographers have said that the decline in the white population has been coming for decades, and Americans decided to have children at a later age, and the baby boomers are literally opting out. Their generation is moving towards retirement. Today, there are fewer white women in prime baby-bearing years as a share of overall population than ever before. That means that those people that are in that age, those young professionals that are in that age that can have babies, they're really opting for their profession. Now, you really can't blame them because that's a programming. The programming they thought would be contingent on our growth is actually affecting their growth. And more minorities of childbearing years are growing at an alarming rate. Why do they say an alarming rate? Because it scares them. It's not an alarming rate. The sad part about this whole thing is that they act like, and this is really unique, they act like there's not enough of us to have the intuitive initiative to notice this ourselves. So this is why a lot of this stuff was going down. I want to put some of this information out here to you. So these people who are beginning to start to identify things in the social order of change will understand why. And you've seen the social order of change, whether you want to pay attention to it or not. Look at your commercials. How many commercials now are interracial? And how many of those commercials are white men and black women? See, you have to understand the dynamic of the strength of the gene. And they know that they're at a point where extinction is not an unlikely probability if they don't make a change. Understand how I said that, if they don't make a change. Now, a lot of you think that they've reached a stage where they've grown to understand. No. This is about genetic survival. Make no mistake. If you think anything different, you're only fooling yourself. Okay? Last year, it was said by a William Fry, a demographer and a sociologist at the Booking Institute in Washington, D.C. Now, anybody who knows anything about white intelligentsia in America has heard about the Brookings Institute in Washington, D.C. As the white population becomes older, that means that even if fertility gets up a little bit, it's not going to be what it was a long time ago. See, they're telling you that we actually are starting to identify this. That's why this whole scenario that Trump is doing now, oh, let's play, make a deal. I'm a deal maker. I'll meet with anybody. It scares those people who literally are at the forefront of corporate control. Why? Because those people maintain the differences and the confusions in order to have a leverage of power dealing with racism and economy. Let me repeat that. They do not want to give up the leverage of differences of racism and power. Race is profit. Let's make it to the point. The decrease in the overall white population is down. Revisions of the 2015 and the 2016 data released last year, between 16 and 17, and non-Hispanic white population has declined 0.02% to 197.8 million people. The census said that the Hispanic population continues to grow, reaching 58.9 million in the middle of 2017, up 2.1% from the year before. The number of African Americans rose 1.2% from 47.4 million, as there are 22.2 million people of Asian heritage, up 3.1% over last year. We have to understand that these acts that you see, and I'm quite sure you've seen them, of people, well, let me say it right to the point, of white people who are coming out and trying to be confrontational. They're doing that for a reason. And they're doing it because they're angry. They're angry that they have reached a point in which they could see they're losing control. But it's only the internal fear that brings this upon them. Why? Because they think, this just tickles me, they think that people of color are going to treat them the way they treated people of color. Let that sink in. And the reason why I point that out is because a little do you know that I say 3.6% of white people and less have 50% of the guns purchased over the last 3 years. And over the last 3 years, the gun purchasing has gone through the roof. Why? Because they have fed their fear of the angry black man. You know why? Because it serves their purpose. They haven't done anything to be specific about transcending change. Why do I say that? I mean, because they're starting to push the hemp product. And remember now, there's a large portion of black people and the Hispanic people in prison industrial complex today based on nonviolent crimes of possession of the very thing they're profiting from. So you see, they understand the path that they laid, but the reason why they don't want to undo it is because of the fear they've created in their minds about us. And when I say us, I mean, I'm a very dark-skinned black man. I mean, I'm a shade beyond dark chocolate. And I'm carrying roughly about 260, 280 pounds from time to time. And I'm physically fit. That's terrifying to them. Have I ever done anything to induce fear upon them? Absolutely not. Why? Because they're insignificant to the lifestyle I lead. But they don't know that. The reason why they don't know that is because they have taught themselves to believe the propaganda that perpetuates the idea of them being, or losing, should I say, losing the control they've always had. Utah residents are the youngest state in the nation. And the what they call the median age, which is the general age, is roughly around 30.9. The median residents that live in Texas, Alaska, and District of Columbia, and, oh wow, is under 35 years of age. At the other end of the spectrum, Maine, the nation's oldest residents in the meridian is aging from 44.7. New Hampshire, the average age is 43.1. While residents in Florida, West Virginia, Vermont, all over the north is 42. You see, they're aged out of the baby-making era. Now, they're bringing in technologies and everything to be able to expand that as much as they can, but a lot of people, they like the technology, but they don't want to be the guinea pig. That's a powerful statement, too. On Wednesday, the Pew Charitable Trust released a new population growth figure showing Utah was the fastest-growing state between 2007 and 2017, when it grew an average of a rate of 1.79% per year, followed by Texas, Colorado, North Dakota, Nevada, and Washington. Two states, Michigan and West Virginia, have lost population over the past decade. Census estimates show that West Virginia's population stands about 1.815 million people, down about 18,000 per to a decade ago. Michigan's population, north of 10 million a decade ago, is now down about 40 million. You see, I'm bringing this stuff to you because I want you to understand this is what's going on around us, and it's happening to us. But it has a tremendous reach in every area of what's going on today. And the reason why I'm bringing this out to you is, once again, is because I want you to understand that there are going to be a point where we have to survive what we must go through. I told you about the transition of the ages. You remember the concept I gave you about the Pisaic Age and the Age of Aquarius? Well, this is the reality of that. Remember I told you? We will be going through different transitions and identifying these growth patterns. Well, this is what's happening. But see, we identify different than they identify because we identify as part of the changing of time. They identify as a threat to white, what they call, what is that term they have? White authority? No. Oh, yeah. It's white priority. They've always made themselves a priority because they had the numbers to do so. I want to bring these things out to you because I want you to understand the important factor in all of this is you, what you do for you. There's going to be a lot of things still coming. A lot of things still coming. Let me get back to the article, though. About 531 countries have seen their average age declined since 2010, and more than half of those were Midwestern states. Okay? Oh, I'm sorry, counties. I thought it was a country, so those counties. Many of those counties are in areas that experience oil booms and fracking because of the sources of plenty of high-paying jobs. Why? Because they literally are destroying what we have for money. I know a lot of you are saying, well, what do you mean destroy what we have? Well, this oil boom that we're experiencing now from the fracking literally is destroying the tectonic plates in the earth as well as our groundwater. And a lot of times they don't want you to focus on that because they're getting paid. Anytime they're getting paid, they don't want you to focus on the truth. Counties and states such as North Dakota, Montana got younger, and did oil-rich regions of Oklahoma and Texas. See, what they're trying to tell you is that in these areas, they're drawing the young people in for these jobs, so therefore those areas are growing. And most of the people that they're hiring don't look like you. Not saying that they wouldn't, because right now as it stands, because most cases, if you qualify, they're going to take you. You know why? Because they make money. The more they got to do the work, the more money they make. Appalachian counties and regions heavily dependent on coal in the West Virginia and North Carolina aged significantly. And didn't coastal counties in the North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida, all areas of population where retirees who migrated to the warmer weather, rural mountain, western counties, were all also more likely to see their median age increase as younger residents moved to larger cities and towns. Bingo. That's a wake-up call. They're telling you they know the process. They know that they can't keep the children on the farms. They know that the people who live in the rural areas, once those kids get educated, they're going to the Dallas. And a lot of times, just to get away from where they grew up, not realizing, because you have to understand, there's a process in every aspect. Not realizing what they're leaving behind on their parents. And they're aging out. You see, this happened to a lot of black people also. See, when people left the South coming to the North because of the industrial age, you left a lot of families left land that they just could not be maintained. And somebody came in the back door through one way or another and they took that land. Now you see this whole concept transitioning. Why is it transitioning? Because they're not focusing on what is best for them. For the family, they're focusing on what is best for them. And a lot of times what is best for you is not what you think it is. But you're entitled to pursue it any way you want to. More than 90% of the population in four states, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and West Virginia, is made up of non-Hispanic white residents. Texas had the highest at that point. You know how the computers are, and when you get to a point, they black out on you. Texas had the highest population of African Americans at 3.8 million, while California had the largest Hispanic, Asian, and Native American population. They're telling you actually where we are. And you know what? To me, at this stage of the game, it's really insignificant where we are. And the reason why I say that is because we are here. Wherever you are right now, they have
a system in place in order for
us to understand how they want things to run, not how things should run. We are reaching a point now where our numbers are going to give us the power to leverage this political system. So believe me, they're going to try to shut it down. White supremacy requires tyranny. So therefore, they're going to try to shut it down. We don't know exactly how they're going to do this yet. But believe me, they're in the process of looking at many different avenues. One of the things that I want you to understand is this. You must operate in your area of priority of self-truth. So in doing that, you're looking out for your best interest and the best interest of your family at all times. The system is not designed to work in your favor. Let me repeat that. The system is not designed to work in your favor. One of the things I want to point out to you also is that if you are serious about transcending change, you need to be working on the local level. You need to be seeking out those candidates that are like-minded, that see like you, that want the things that you want, and pursue them and help them if they prove to be what they say they are. Now, let me repeat that. If they prove to be what they say they are, you need to get on board in that process. Because as long as you don't, you allow them to maintain a certain degree of control as long as they can. And they are, believe me. I already told you less than 4% of white America has 50% of the gun. So literally, there's a certain degree of fear that most of them don't share. And that has a lot to do with Christianity. I'm going to be right to the point. It has a lot to do with Christianity. But there's going to be a lot of doors opening up over this next year. And these conversations that we start to have, we got to participate in them. Right now, there's a governor's race in Georgia where there's a black woman running against a white woman. Never in history have there been two women running for the same office representing two different parties. And believe me, the Trumpers are going to be in the game. So we have to be in the game. Even if we don't win the main seat, we still have to prepare ourselves to be in the game. Okay, this is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday. I'm just giving you a little insight before we get into the show. And the reason why is because in the show, I'm leaving all this behind. I'm really going to focus on us as individuals and what we can do to enhance our personal growth. But I want you to understand that all of the stuff that you see going on around you, killings and all that, this is not by happen chance. This is fear on its maximum level. But it's not fear. It's not black fear. This is white fear. And they really don't have a right to fear. But as long as they control the laws, they can do it as they want to. And they know that. This is why these numbers scare them the bejeebies out of them. And the reason why is because they can see that when people of color get in the office, they can see them being the new slaves. Why, I don't know. I never had a desire for a slave. But, I mean, that's just how they think. So we have to accept the circumstances as they are. Look, we get ready to come up on a break. This is a good time for me to also inquire about Black Talk Radio. We have become a vessel in the community. We definitely are bringing to you information that you cannot get on mainstream radio. And we are not false news. We are the real news. But most of all, we are here on every level, just not news. We're here on every level to build our communities and the people in them to make the decisions that will build our communities in every area in which we live. So we have to participate in this process. So I don't only want you going to the polls. I don't only want you giving your money to the politicians. I want you to also consider the role that we played in waking you up to understand that you are greater than the circumstances that are around you. Black Talk Radio will always be available as long as you participate in the process. When we become unavailable, it's because we literally could not keep up the pace that we needed to keep you informed. So it's your responsibility as well as ours. So just take it serious. That's all we ask. Take it serious. And when you start making those contributions, and I know many of you go to church every week, and you reach down there and get whatever you can, consider Black Talk Radio. And when you reach down in there, write a little something to us. And guess what? You will be blessed and benefited by it far beyond your imagination. Because we bring you what is real. And what is real that you can operate in your life today on a daily basis. This is Brother Davis. We'll be back right after this break. But when we come back, we want to be moving to another level. So, Brother Scotty, if we were to take the break right now, I can position myself and set up for the next segment. Okay, no break, just okay. Not a problem. Let me keep it moving. Okay. I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that we have become the victims of a invasion of not only particle invasion, that means in the atmosphere. We've been invaded by our water. We've been invaded by our food. We have been invaded by every aspect of bringing destruction into the physical body. Do you realize that now we've been invaded by parasites? Absolutely. I know people don't want to think about it, but it's true. There are people living with parasites in their body, and we literally have to take control of that. And we're not going to do it through chemicals. Because, see, every time you take a chemical, your system doesn't know what it is. It takes a while to identify that. It's a the old-fashioned way, for those of you who can remember, there was a time when you had spirits that you took, and you poured these spirits in a glass, about an ounce of it, and you add some honey or some sugar, and you drank the spirits. And that was very common practice up until the early 50s, maybe in the late 60s, depending on how your family had adapted to traditional holistic teachings, but literally that was a way to rid your body of parasites. Now, don't get me wrong, there is a knowledge behind it. I'm still trying to do due diligence on that. I have some information that I have been reading, and the young doctor who presented this literally has a powerful, powerful story. Powerful story. And the reason why the story is so unique is because it seems like when we wake up and grow into an area that allows us to become better and could help more people, they focus on us. Perfect example of that was Dr. Sabe. Dr. Sabe didn't have a medical degree, he just knew nutrition. And then when he started doing the things he did, he became the focus. Not because he was doing something wrong, but because he wasn't operating in the system the way they would have operated. So this is the reality in which we live in today, but we could take care of ourselves. One of the things I always encourage people, that if you have a yard or you have plots in your area where you live where you can do some planting, plant your own. When you plant your own and it grows, it gives you a robust feeling of accomplishment. You're just looking at it on a daily basis. When you put that seed in the ground, I'm telling you from experience, you put that seed in the ground, there's a communication that's going on between you and the cosmology of the universe. Why? Because the seed is a principle of truth. The truth is that if you put a seed in the ground, it will grow something exactly like it. That will also bear seed, such as the seed you put in the ground. See, that's the purpose of plants. Now, there are plants on many different levels. When I say there are plants on many different levels, I mean, I guess like that. There are plants that people literally grow for specific things. Then there are some plants that they grow for other things, herbs and that sort of thing, barks. These things are grown for holistic and healing properties. Food is actually a medicine. And the reason why we haven't been taught the food is a medicine because they literally got all these other industries that are making money off of how we spend our money. So they program us how to spend the money, and we fail to realize that we already are at the precipice of growing beyond the circumstance of that area they want us to spend the money in. And I know people say to me all the time, well, Brother Davis, you know, things are so expensive. They are expensive, but they weren't always expensive. One of the guys that said to me, it was so expensive, he said, well, you're doing what others can. I said, why? He said, well, what do you mean? I said, now, I've been over your house. You got a nice big yard over there. He said, yeah. I said, well, you can grow your own food. And I mean, it didn't dawn on him that he could grow his own food. And the reason being is because when we're running from program to program, we're not looking out for our best interests. We're looking out to keep the program running. But when he really got to thinking about it, he said, you know what? He said, well, where can I get some seed? I said, you can get some good seed if you go to a feed store. I said, because that's what they specialize in, seed. I said, but then again, you can get some good seed if you go to Lowe's or a Walmart that literally carries seeds that are non-effective. He said, well, what do you mean? Yeah, I said, seeds that are literally not genetically modified. Seed that will bear seed in the fruit that it grows. And he looked at me and he said, well, I thought, oh. I said, it's designed that way, but it's not that way now. See, that's just another battle we have ahead of us. Because now even they were telling me that on the religious broadcast that comes on TV, they're talking about gut bacteria. Now, gut bacteria is part of the foundation of how our body operates. Now, for those of you who don't know, everybody's gut has a bacteria in it, and that bacteria is good and it's bad. Bad bacteria works to function of the body just like good bacteria does. But because of the different genetically modified foods that are out here, these gut bacteria they're going awry because they don't know how to identify the process. A lot of these foods that are being made, that are processed, that you get in a box, literally are not food. They're chemical combinations to give you the impression. And here's the catch. All they talk about are functional in this case. But they don't tell you that once it gets into your system, your digestive tract may not be able to distinguish what it is because it's foreign to the natural food chain. Now, I spoke before about how food communicates with us. How when you see fresh vegetables or fresh fruits, how it's starting to communicate by the visual and the smell and all these things, these are prepping your body. See, these are what's called the communication of the cosmology of life. Why life? Because all living things are communicating. If you sit out in a field and just say nothing, everything that's alive around in you in that field is going to communicate with you in one manner or another. It's about your perceptiveness to receive what is being said. I was talking to a girl about strawberries, beautiful strawberries. And she was showing me some out of California. I said, no, I don't eat California strawberries. She said, well, why? These are beautiful. I said, because California is known as a state that literally uses chemicals in everything it grows. She said, but so much comes out of California. I said, that's why. It's because it's a corporate capital state. That means that corporations run the farms, corporations run the processes. She said, well, what makes you say that? I said, because I've seen it. I've been out there. I've seen trees that look like, 1,000 trees that all look alike. Now, imagine that. 1,000 trees that all look like each other. If you go to an orchard, you're going to see trees growing all kind of ways, but they're going to simplify. They're going to look similar to each other, okay? But they're not going to be exactly like each other. There is a difference in natural growth and modified growth. You don't need chemicals on your food, but you may have to go through a process to prepare the soil so that as the food begins to grow, that it begins to develop certain degrees of stringents. What is stringents? Stringents are the things that keep certain insects away because certain other stringents attract insects. But not all insects are going to be inundated to crops. Some insects are good. If you ever have grown a garden and you see ladybugs, leave them alone. If you see spiders, leave them alone. These are good insects. They eat the bad insects. And see, a lot of us here, you'll never know until you really get out there and say, oh, wow, look. You ever walk through a garden? Everything is beautiful and green. And then all of a sudden you look at it might be okra. The okra hangs on the vine. And in between the okra, you see a spider web. And you think, oh, wow, a spider. Well, that spider's not bad for that okra. That spider may be catching the things that eat or that will devastate a crop. So literally our positives and negatives in the universe that literally work to our advantage, which brings us to the human. We have been given this unique circumstance. We are spiritual beings living a time life existence. And we're only here because we have to. This is a lesson in emotion. I know some of you are saying, wow, that's deep. And the reason why it's a lesson in emotion is because the spirit cannot distinguish the physical realm and the spiritual realm. So in this temple, it can experience the physical realm in a time-life experience. But it must also deal with the pitfalls, which is emotion. Why is emotion a pitfall? Well, you've seen people whose emotion goes awry. You've seen people who've been victimized by the way they behave because of their emotion. So literally, that is a great battle for us here while we live in these temples. But we're so bombarded with other things that literally help us to make decisions to destroy our temples. You've seen it. You've seen people walking around smoking cigarettes, carrying, drinking their 40s. You know what I'm saying? How about the druggies? Do you think all of that, any of that is good for the temple? But yet, we are supposed to be the guardians of this time life experience that our spirits are going through. And they should be evolving during that process. That's what makes food so important. You see, energy doesn't require food. So when it gets food in a physical manner, it's getting a dose of energy in a manner in which it cannot experience unless it's having a time life circumstance. So when you see that beautiful tomato or that peach during season, them beautiful round peaches, and you bite into it and them juices run all through the side of your mouth and they're touching every sensor of taste. All of these things are being stimulated to start their process to turn that energy into nutrition for your temples. And we have to understand that our truth is just as I explained it. Any other way you look at that, literally you subdue your ability to take control. And that's why a lot of people fail to realize that when you listen to stuff and it goes into these temples, goes through your ears, or you see things and it goes through your eyes, these are filters. And these filters literally have to process whatever comes in. That's why you're so bombarded right now with negative stuff. Why do you think rap music, and this is unique, why do you think rap music is so degrading to our women that our women turn in to the people they speak about in songs? Not all of them. But when you get down to it, a lot of our young ladies today are living what they're hearing, and they're becoming what they have set to be there. They want to be that person that has money to do whatever they want, but they don't have the money. So they do what they think that they're going to have to do to get there, and it's really a trap. So before you know it, they get trapped. Young brothers, too. Young brothers get out here and they hear guys talk about, yeah, well, you know, she's fine and she's this and she's that and look at this and look at that. They're being misguided. So before you know it, that's what they're doing. But if you pull them aside and say, you know what, my brother, you have been misled, and I'm going to explain that to you, and I want you to take some time during the course of your day and just think about what I say. And the reason why you want them to take some time to think about what they say is you become what you think you are. So if you think that you want to hang out on the corner and be a banger, that's what you want to become, because guess what? The system has designed it that way, and they've given you all of the pitfalls that to lead you that way, and they've even tapped into some of the universal laws that make that a truth in your life. Because, you know, sound and vibration is a universal law. What they don't tell you is words are spells. Why are words spells? Because you can become inundated by the words to the degree that you follow what the words say. And I know most of them don't know that the original language had nothing to do with words, it had to do with sound. Absolutely. So therefore, when we look out in the street today, we got a lot of work to do. Not just we, or not just me, you too. You too, because guess what? These brothers and sisters aren't limited to one area of town, one city. They're all over. And the way they dress is indicative of how they think. And it's our responsibility to say, excuse me, sis, I mean, it's a beautiful day out here, and I know you think that you're really into the season, but what you're wearing sculptures all of your treasure. I said that to one girl. She said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what you're wearing leaves nothing to my imagination. I could see all of the curvaceousness that is a woman, that is what her treasure should be, but she should hold that treasure to someone who is worthy of being exposed to it. And I mean, she looked at me and she said, you know, there ain't no men out here like that. I said, yeah, there is, but they don't know it yet. And we have to help them understand that, but we can't do that when you're sending these kind of messages. And we get them all the time, because guess what? These sisters think that that's what it's about. No, that's the program they want you to run on. Straight up, that's the program they want you to run on. They want you to keep the animal nature of your spiritual self in the forefront instead of cultivating your spiritual self so the divine spirit can rise. And the reason why it will not rise is because you decided that you wanna hear the rap song, you wanna see the Beyonce, you wanna be the very thing that is your destruction. And I know some of you are probably saying, well, I don't think Beyonce is destructive. You don't have to think she's destructive. Look at her behavior. There's a lot of things you don't know about these people who reflect a part of society that most of these young people follow. And that's why, if you notice, most of these new programs come out, they're all based on fad. They're all based on gossip. They're all based on what someone else is doing. Why? Because they want you to do it. They want you to be self-destructive. They want you to go out, and they want you to hang out, and they want you to wear tight clothes. You brothers, too. Half these brothers, they got a little bit of a body about them. They lift a little bit. Are they lifting because they want to stay healthy and preserve themselves? Or are they lifting because they want to lure someone into a state of submission? These are the truths we live in all the time. I got a young son talking to him today. He said, Dad, I said, well, what you doing, man? He said, well, I'm just working hard, Dad. I said, so have you seen anybody? He said, no, not now. He said, that's just too much problem. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, I thought I was seeing somebody, but when I started to evaluate what was happening, that's not what I wanted to happen. I said, good. That means that you're making some decisions that are best for you. He said, yeah. He said, well, you know, at this age, I have to. And because there's so many people out here that are running from program to program, just like you said, that all they want is somebody who's going to take them, do with them what they think that should be done according to a video. And then they want to be able to live that life, whatever it is. And a lot of times, that life ain't good at all. But they settle for it. I said, yeah, that's true, son. Now, he told me more about the measure of a man and himself in that conversation, because that allowed me to realize what I put in wasn't in vain. So I know that when he's out here, he's going to run across some other young brothers, and he's going to say, you know what, man? I'm out. And you know, the sad part about it is that we have to teach our brothers to say that, because a lot of times they're being misled by other people they went to school with. They might have went to school in 9th, 10th, 11th grade. Here they are out here in the world and working every day, struggling. Somebody come along and say, let's hang out. Next thing you know, wow, look, that's an opportunity. Let's go ahead and do this and that. Before you know it, they're doing something they ain't got no business doing. We have to give them the power of taking control of their lives, and then let them know we see it and we're happy for it, because literally you're starting to do something that's going to benefit you in the long run. That is the important purpose that we must teach our young men and young women. There was a girl on the on the TV the other day talking about she wanted to travel. She was out of high school. She was not found. She's looking for work, but what she really wanted to do was travel. And you know what? That made me think in reference to what she was trying to do. Because a lot of people come out of high school, they have no idea what they're going to do. Think about that. I mean, they're out here working these here jobs that they know are dead-end jobs. So when they work those jobs, they begin to become the victim of those circumstances. They begin to realize, you know what, this ain't what I want. Well, let's work to get to where you want or what you want. Don't just think that you can get up and walk away. Because when you get up and walk away, you become victim of circumstances that may be beyond your control. And it happens every day. And I haven't talked about the so-called opioid crisis. And you have to understand this. A lot of them aren't even being victimized by the opioid crisis because they know it. A lot of them are being victimized by their emotions. That's why it's so important for us to take control of our emotions in this time of life experience. They say, oh, you know, I really don't want to do this, but I'm so lonely. Let me go out to the club. Next thing you know, they go out to the club and they meet somebody. The program is in full effect. And the people know it's in full effect because they got all of the entwinings of the universal laws involved in it. You don't hear these white rappers talking about negatively about their women and what they could do to them. You know why? Because some people ain't having it. They know what they're doing. These brothers out here that sell out, and that's what they do, they sell out for money. Literally are betrayers of a system that is designed for them to be the kings and queens. Not be the slaves, not be the animals. Because that's exactly what the system calls them when they fall into that pattern. Oh, they're just animals. Yeah. Houses out here literally doing anything and everything, not only to the brothers but to the sisters. But we can't get them to understand the only way they can do that is if you put yourself in a situation in which you can be victimized that way. And if you don't put yourself in that position, literally you will find that you can take power back in your life. This is what we're about. We're about restoring the power. We're about taking the time to understand that I can take care of me. I can take care of myself. And whatever decisions I make are mine. And if you don't agree with them, that's fine. Because not everybody's going to think that you're right. Because the system don't want you to be right. The system does not want you to be right. Do you realize the system literally will tell you to go to college, get an education? But you know what they're not telling you? Go to college. Go $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in debt. Then when you're in debt, we'll give you a dead-end job, and you'll stay at that job until you retire. But guess what? While you're in college, you can join a group, and that group that you join will be available to you to tap into so that they can give you a little boost. Well, but that won't help you with your college loans. You got to pay that off. Oh, by the way, for those of you who don't know, the second highest debt in America, college loans. And the system knows what it's doing. We have to gear our children in a manner that they find personal fortitude to make the decisions that are going to perpetuate them without them falling into these pits. Now, sometimes I feel so good when I see schools, like there's a young school in Chicago, one in New York, and they educate black men, and 100% of the black men go to college. And those men that go to college, most of them get scholarships. That, you're going to take that route, is the way to go. Because then you come out of that college, you got yourself a degree, you don't have no debt, and you can start becoming the person you want yourself to be, and not what the system wants you to be. Because the system always has a plan for you. The system always has a plan for you. Remember that one time when these young girls was getting pregnant left and right, and all of a sudden teenage pregnancy, and guess what? Teenage pregnancy is still going on, but not the way it was. Now when you hear about it, here's what they're going to be saying. Too many teenagers are having babies. They're only saying that because of what I told you about in the first segment of the show. They know. When are we going to know? They know that as long as they keep running the program of deception and separation, we're going to be deceived and separated. And two, we wake up to the fact that, you know what, I got $10. If you got $10, or we get 10 people with $10, we got $100. With that $100, we can collaborate and get something that everybody likes and share. You know what that's called? It's called capitalism. They don't want you to know that. You know why? Because they want you to be an animal. Just think about it. If 100 people do $1,000 together, that's $100,000. If everybody listening to this show right now put $10 together, even if it's only 35 people, that's $350. Can you imagine what we could do if those 10 people, or that 35 people every month, put that $10 and put it in the Black Talk Radio? That's $350 a month that could be counted on. The leverage is that would literally offer other people coming in saying, you know what, I want to be a part of that. I appreciate it. I want to be a part of that. That's how the numbers grow. That's how we bring change. That's how purpose rises above circumstance. And believe me, they always create a circumstance to make you think that you cannot get beyond the obstacle to the purpose, because we have been taught wrong. We have always seen money as something of value instead of a tool. Let's learn to use the tool and stop valuing the money, because we value the money greater than we do the tool, and we never learn to use the tool. It's important that we show our love to each other in many ways. And sometimes showing my love to you may just be there for you in a given instance for you to experience your idea coming alive. And if I feel the same way and 10 other people feel the same way, and you look around and you see that's 11 people there to share that experience with you, what do you think you're going to do? That's right. You're going to look to share something with them. That is the purpose of what we should be serving. Not the stuff that's going out here. Not the stuff that we're allowing to take control of our lives. This is Brother Davidson coming up on the full hour. Now, one of the unique things about us as being the people is that we really hate to part from our money, because we always see it as a loss. It's not a loss. Remember, money is a tool. If we're going to keep Black Talk Radio operating, we need to put our tools together and operate in the best interest of Black Talk Radio, which will serve our purpose as a community. This is Brother Davis coming to you on a Wise Wednesday. We're coming up on the break.
You are tuned in.
After the break, I'm going to go into more detail about what you can do where you are, and the circumstances you're in do not control the destination that you can desire. This is Brother Davis. It's the Act of Love, and I'll be right back with more love for you.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Are we back? Brother David said I'm moving to another part of the segment of the show. And the reason why I'm moving into this segment of the show is because I want people to see the purpose of Big Play and individualize a people they may not even know. You all know we have a farm, and it's coming along. It's coming along. It has its ups and its downs, but it's doing very well under the circumstance. Well, we have a lot of neighbors around us that are really heavily poverty-stricken. So we've been able to go out and do some community work. I believe I did mention about the neighbor who broke her hip because he had a beat up old ramp that went into her house. Well, I didn't realize the dynamics in this at this particular time, but my older brother did. He said, you know what, man, we need to go over here. And we need, because the lady went in the hospital. She fell. She's coming down the ramp. She fell. She broke her hip. She might be 65, 70, maybe 75 years old. And she broke her hip, and she had to go to the hospital. So while she was in the hospital, my brother was at the forefront. He said, look, this is what we need to do if we're going to work this community, where we want to work the community. we need to go ahead and restore this lady's land. I said, well, why do you say that? He said, because this lady's a pillar in the community, and most of the people that live around her are her family or related to her in some way, cousin, that sort of thing. I said, oh, okay. I mean, you're there most of the time, so, you know, you this one you do, let's do this. So, you know, we took up considerable funds, but we separated with them. I understand how I said that, because I want you to understand the importance of separating from your funds. And the ramp that we built was better than the funds you had. Tore out the old ones, took the old footers out. The old footers didn't have any concrete, so what we did was when we cut the footers in order for the new ramp, then what we did was we set them in quickcrete. Okay, now what does that mean? We got number 10 can. We put the board in the can, which was the foundation footer piece, and then we poured quickcrete all around it and let it hard for 2 days. So now when we put these in the ground, they had some foundation on them, because literally in the South, when you dig down in the ground, you should really put some stone down there so it doesn't shift. So that's what we did. We put some stone in the bottom of the hole. We put the footer in that already had the concrete placed all around it, because it froze, I mean, it hardened. Then we put the dirt in, measured it out, and then lined it up. Put new boards on. Brothers and sisters, when this lady came back and she seen it, she just started crying. And my brother wasn't even there. Her daughter was there. And she said, the girl said, I let my mother cry for a few minutes. And she said, well, who did this? And she got the naming people. She said, well, no, they didn't do it. No, they didn't do it. No. Well, she said, well, who did it? She said, well, the Davis family over there did it. She said, the black people. Because you have to understand it's a mixed community. And the daughter said, yeah. Well, ever since then, this lady has been opening up more and more of her life to us. I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but she had asked me if I would teach her. She has a mixed son, mixed grandson, mixed racial grandson. She said, asked me if I would teach him his black heritage, because his dad was not like me. Not that she didn't like him, but he was not like me. She said he's not as much of a thinker as he is a doer. He said, you're more of a thinker. And he said, that's really what he needs, because the boy's about 11 years old right now, and you can see that there's a lot of things going on there. So, you know, we're sitting down, we're talking, and I said, yeah, well, I can do that too, you know. She must have set over. She wants to come. She comes to the farm at least 3-4 times a week. And she sits for about an hour to 2 hours every time. So, and building this relationship, now other people are starting to come by us and just leave stuff at the farm. What I mean, eggs and that. So this is country folk. This is what they do. They give what they have. And they were leaving eggs and stuff, and they'd speak to you, you know what I mean? And before you know it, we started really begin to build our brand in the community. Now, there's a property that was, maybe half a mile out, just a little less than a mile from us. There was 100 and some odd acres, and an attorney out of Baltimore, brother, bought it. And when he came down here the first time to see the land, no one told him that there were black farmers right down the road. But he didn't buy it as a farm. He bought it as an investment. Now, he could do a number of different things with it. It can go any way. He made that very clear. But when we met him, the first thing he said, well, you know, what's the vibe like? So my brother went on to tell him, well, you know, in this area, the county was discovered by a black woman and that sort of thing. There's a very large mixed population, but the largest amount of the population is black. And we went on to tell him, yeah, there is a white sheriff, but he seems relatively low-key. It's one of those people that don't come out here unless you call it. Of course, where we are, a lot of people don't come out here. Where we are, a lot of people don't come out here unless you call them. But I say that because I want you to understand the importance of building in the community. Now,
there's an alliance down there. There's a Farmers Alliance down there. And the Farmers Alliance really have been having problems. So my brother and I, we do a number of different things. So we have regular meetings where we just get together, have coffee, and then we put down what our plan is for this week or for this organization or how we're going to organize that. And he brought up, he said, you know, he said, well, sooner or later, we're going to have to get involved in this Farmers Association. And I said, yeah, I said, I've been thinking about that. He said, what do you think? I said, well, I'm just trying to let the, you know, let the vibe lead me. I don't want to come in there like a strong arm and that sort of thing. And he said, yeah, but we're the only organic farmers in this area. And then I began to realize what he was thinking. So literally as things became and started developing, you know, they had a meeting, we went to the meeting, and all of the people at the meeting were glad to see us. We were new, one. Two, we were only the only certified farmers there. So now they want to be certified organic. So literally what they wanted was my brother to teach him what he had gone through. And he said, well, no, I don't have time to do it that way. He said, but I tell you what, let me come to your farms individually, and I can be able to talk to you and at least help you structure them with a direction to go or a plan so that you'll know what direction to move into. And that's working out very, very well. So the reason why I'm telling you this is because it's up to us to take the lead. I don't care where you live. And literally, when I first went down here, I didn't know what to expect. But I'm getting such a positive vibration now. They're starting to just come over and talk. You know, they see you out there by the poles or something, or you're doing, you might be mending the fence or something. They'll pull over and say, how you doing today? You know, in the middle, there's no whole lot of traffic. I'm going to say the middle of traffic, but there's only a two-lane road that goes by the house. So they can literally pull off on the grass and won't interfere with traffic, and they conversate. Some of them get out and help them. Because literally that's what they're beginning to understand, that if we help them, they can help us. And it all comes back to the initiative to go ahead and rebuild this lady's ramp. And I'm going to tell you, her name is Bonnie. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes when I see what she sees me and she smiles and says, Mr. Davis, the little brother. That's what she calls me because my older brother's up. She calls me, Mr. Davis, the little brother. Come on in and have some coffee. Well, I don't drink coffee. So she'll say, okay, well, you know, I got some of that tea you sent over. But literally, we're trying to get them to grow beyond the circumstance. But this is a very poor community. But we got more people now who are starting their own gardens this year. And the best part about that is that means that they're going to have resources. And sometimes, you know, in poor communities, just trading makes a difference. So it's about making a difference. And that's why I'm pointing this out to you. Anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. We just got to take the initiative and do it. I got so much on my plate right now. My wife looks at me and says, baby, sooner or later, you're going to have to take a break. And I tell her all the time, I hope it's later because right now I got to do this. I got to do that. We don't really understand the blessings that are in our life until we take control and change the circumstance. Because the program that you're running on, especially whether you live in the city or you have a job, you're running on a program. And that program is taking away from you. It's giving you some resources, but it's literally taken away from you. And you think about the things that you could be doing if you had your own interests at your forefront, the priority. It changes things. I see my wife now, sometimes she'll just go out and garden and she's planting her herbs or cutting and drying her herbs or whatever. And now I'm eating close to a raw food diet, 100% raw food diet. Think about that. Now, I've already told you that there's a communication that goes on in the cosmology of food. So now it's translating itself in my body as I eat on a daily basis. So I'm really, really feeling that. When I say I'm really feeling that, I mean the transition from eating the way I was to eating the way I am is a great difference. And I'm loving it. I really love it. And then that's beyond the fact that I still meditate on a regular basis, so I take myself into states of total peace, where there's nobody there but me and the birds, and we just get into an area of solemn, maybe play some background music or a little bit of incense, and I go into a state of meditation, and I grow on another spiritual level. And the best part about that is that all of these things are available not just to me, to all of us. But until we make the transition to do something different, well, nothing different happens. My body right now is, the weight is dropping off, because when you cook food, you add to it. Like, you know, if you're frying it or whatever, you still have to add something to it. In the long run, that adds to the weight. So as I'm going through this here experience and I'm talking about it to my wife, she's like, you know, baby, I understand. And, you know, I'm beginning to realize more and more that she understands, because she's doing the footwork. She's the one that's preparing my food. And she's the one that greets me with that smile and says, yeah, how do you like this? How's that taste? I mean, I'm experimenting with some things. I'm talking about seed and grain salads. I know it sounds different, but I'm talking about with some grinding some nuts up with some fresh corn, some black olives, maybe some kale, sprinkle with a little bit of vinegar. Then you want to add something to fluff it up. What I mean, something to fluff it up. I'm talking about maybe some dry kiwi or something. See, these are foods that your body understands when it goes in what it is, and it's in its most raw form. So it's most what they call the most energetic form. I wouldn't have got here on my own. I had obstacles, a lot of obstacles getting here. I'm very fortunate in many ways. One of the ways, unfortunately, is that I have a wife that does the due diligence of being able to say, you know what, I think I'm gonna try this meal, try that meal. She'll go out and she'll find a cookbook that deals with Kemetic foods or African dishes. You know, and that all of those foods are cooked. African chutney is a very delightful dish. Very delightful. And you know what? It's just a blend of fruit and tomatoes. I mean, not fruit and tomatoes, but fruit and vegetables. And nuts. Corn. I'm going to tell you, man, a lot of people say, oh, you eat like a rabbit. No, I don't eat like a rabbit. I eat very well. I eat very, very well. And unfortunately, that she goes out and she finds these cookbooks. It literally gives me energy. They're called energy meals, where if you consume them, you're literally going to be able to resuscitate the energy they provide. This is not something that is exclusive to any one person. And I'm going to build out. Remember I told you before, I have a website I was working on, the Divine Oneness, and then when I put it up, it got hijacked. Well, it got hijacked because of different things I didn't know. And the reason why is because I thought I had did my due diligence, but I hadn't. I didn't know anything about the AdWords. And if you get into Google, you'll understand what AdWords are, or what they call Google Analytics. But I had to study these things in order to be able to bring my product out so that the people could be able to indulge in it to the fullest extent. I'm still working. Because literally, life is always about learning. And when you're learning, you're growing. See, that's why they make TV. They make TV to keep you from learning. Oh, yeah, there's some programs that teach you things. But most of them don't. And when you start self-evaluating and comparing yourself to the programs, you'll very clearly see. I had an experience with years ago with Diners, Dives, and that show.
because it went to some places and it had some kind of dishes, because there's someone in queue, and it had dishes that
Your audio, for some reason, dropped out. Are you still there, Brother Davis? Hello? Brother Davis?
I apologize. I just had a phone call unexpected, and I got a new phone, so when it showed, I didn't know exactly what it was, and I kind of thought I was flipping it off, and it went off altogether. But getting back to what I was saying in reference to that show about Diners and Dives, you ever notice how they go and they make these here dishes and they put all the stuff on it? But if one show I remember exclusively, they had this sandwich that they made. It was a sandwich. It was made with barbecue, and it had beef, and it had tomatoes, it had onions, it had cheese, it had those Fritos corn chips, it had coleslaw. I mean, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, and that place was local, like where I was living at that particular time. That place might have been 20, 25 minutes from where I was. And I never got there. Not that I didn't want to go, but the dynamics of the program was pulling me to go there. And what do I mean about the dynamics of the program? The sandwich looked good when the guy picked it up and he bit into the sandwich and the juices was all flowing and I could see the coleslaw dripping from the burger and everything. I was thinking, man, that must taste so good. But as I began to study more and study more and study more, and I was looking at this guy, and this guy was already carrying weight that I didn't want to have, because he was considered obese. And he was eating these foods, talking about how good they taste, when you could literally see that they weren't helping him. Needless to say, as I begin my adventure to grow in a different direction, I never got to this place, and I passed it several times to stop in and eat there, because in my subconscious, I knew that ain't what I wanted, but it was what attracted to me because of the program. You see, when you watch something, or you allow yourself to be inundated by something, you're drawn to that stuff, and they know that. And the reason why they know that is because literally, they're programming you. That's why they have these things called fast food restaurants, and the commercials come on TV, and they got those little things now they call the box. They got the box with the chicken and the potatoes and the this and that, all of that in there. Then they got the bowls, where the bowls got eggs and potatoes and all this here, called a stuffed bowl or whatever. These things are to lure your taste buds, but what are they going to do for your body's nutrition? These are the things that we got to focus on. And believe me, it was a fight. It was a fight when you had been inundated with programs for so long. You begin to realize this is what you are. When you get that wake-up call and you got to start that battle, and that's what it is. When that wake-up call says, I ain't doing this no more, you got to start that battle. It ain't easy. It by no means is easy. I'm going to tell you how deep it is. As a man, because of the programming, because of the inundation of the negative effects of this music in the universal law, it took me a while to understand that I don't have to look at a woman's anatomy first. Now, that may not have any effect on you, but as a man growing up in a system, and that's all you hear, and when you see women, you look at their anatomy. And I'm going to tell you something. This is really deep. I have a, to me, a very beautiful wife. And when I begin to realize that the sensationalism that I once had just being in her company and listening to her talk, I begin to realize I was looking at her in a negative way, but an animalistic way, more so than in a loving way. But when I begin to realize I got to do something about that, because literally I didn't want other people to look upon my wife that way. So who am I? Although I'm her husband and I'm supposed to love her and give her the best that I can offer as a man, who am I to look upon her in such an animalistic way? So I went back and I really started focusing on the 42 principles of my eye and everything that reflected woman. I would hold up to her image so that literally I could see her in that light. That gave me my wife back. Because now when I sit down and I talk with her, I'm not looking at her through those lustful eyes, because that's what they teach. They teach lust in this programming. And before you know it, you're doing things that you wouldn't ordinarily do based on what you hear, what you see, what you've been told, the obstacles that are before you. So I don't want you to think this is going to be easy, by no means. I have no idea what these young women go through. Because these brothers out here now, half of them come off very feminine. And then the other half come off the masculine. And then the greatest quantity of them are still in prison or caught up in a system that literally is not letting them go. We have much work to do. But we must start with ourselves. Because now I can look at a sister while we're conversating and see the sister that's being projected out of her, instead of looking at her physical features. And a lot of times, you're victimized internally, psychologically, behind getting caught up in those programs. You think, oh, I'm all right, I'm normal. No, you're not. No, you're not. See, a lot of times there's sinister thoughts behind it. That's what I really had to defeat. The sinisterism that could play a role in my life that's never played before. Because I didn't allow myself to be placed in a situation where I was constantly being bombarded with negative music. You realize the first rap music that came out was all positive and uplifting? So you should realize that the programming that is going on now is for a specific purpose. It is an obstacle in the psychological growth of the individual if they don't identify that they're being victimized by it. I look at people like Beyonce and her videos and that sort of thing. As a husband, I wouldn't want my wife to bear herself to the world like that. I don't care what it takes. Because then I know when people are looking at my wife, they're not seeing who she is. They're seeing what she does. It's a greater reflection on who she is to them because they don't know her. But yet, sometimes money is the power behind what people do, because literally they have no understanding of the purpose behind money. Money is a tool. When you value money to the degree that you're willing to sacrifice yourself, you have literally become the animal that's trying to survive in diverse circumstances. And you let an animal get hungry enough, it's going to do anything it can, anything it can. Cover whatever that desire is. Those people who think this is a joke, look on Facebook every day. You see people missing. Young girls, young boys, children. Even women. Some young men. That's not just happening. This is being done on purpose. I can't tell you about who, because it's happening all over the world. But I know one thing. I know that whatever is behind it is not good. It's not good at all. I talked to you about the dark web on one show. That was eye-opening. That was very eye-opening. Because they're telling you that there is a part of society or humanity that literally takes control of whatever it is they feel that they want, in spite of how the person feels that they're taking advantage of. They become criminals in their own communities. Only because we allowed ourselves to be victimized by a circumstance that we constantly look at and don't make a positive attempt to do something about. I heard Warren say on his show, you want to make a change, go to a radio station. Tell them not to play that there negative rap. You know, I never heard anything out of that, but I did that. I went to a radio station and said, you know what? We're tired of this negative rap. You know what they said to me? Don't listen to it. So you know what my message was? Don't listen to it. Don't give them your dollars. Don't give them the time of day, and don't listen to it. Most of my day I spend, if I listen to music, I've got jazz on. Why do I have jazz? I have poetry. Sometimes I like poetry. And it depends, because I like different kinds of poetry, not just any poetry. But it's our purpose to do something different in order to make change. We're coming up on the last segment, y'all. I mean, I always try to encourage you to call in, because literally, the monologue is better than the dialogue. And I really want to get your feedback. I want to know that the time that I'm putting here, although it's my acting love, I'd like to know that other people are benefiting by it. Because as we move forward, like I told you, I'm working on a website now that I'm beginning to understand to you the dynamics of Google Analytics and all these things, and ad page and AdWords, and how you got to form them in order to move your page up to a position in which it can be selected first. And your content can be put out there, because I'm going to tell you, there's so much negative content out here. We have to fight for a position so that we can get our message out. But if that's what I got to do, so be it, because it still has to be done. Okay, we're coming up in the last segment. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. We're going to the break, but remember that pick up your phones, give me a call, give me a little dialogue. And if you can't do that, at least make a contribution to Black Talk Radio, because that way we'll be here when you turn us on. This is Brother Davis, and we'll be back.
Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, we're at the last segment. And believe me, I really enjoy taking the time out and putting this program together, and even my due diligence and doing my research. I find out a lot more that I really could tell you, but I really don't think that that's the sort of thing that Dave really does well. And I don't like to move into his area, because literally sometimes when I listen to him, I already have my notes so that I can do my own due diligence in areas of interest in which I want to go ahead and just check out for personal identification. So I'm not the best at that, but yet and still, I encourage everybody, anytime you listen to Black Talk Radio, have a pen and a piece of paper by you so that you can literally take some notes and do your own due diligence. That's what empowers you. Revelation of truth is what empowers you. And I'm going to tell you something. There's only so much that you can do in reference to what's going on around you, but you can do something. And I encourage you, please, do something. Talk to your neighbors. Do you know your neighbors? I know that sounds strange, but literally, there was a time when you grow up, everybody knew everybody. But nowadays, people are so standoffish. Not because they choose to be, but because the system has brought so much fear into their community. I mean, I'm going to tell you, it's deep, because I was talking to my niece, and she was saying that she did some work on the Makings list. I said, Makings list? And I vaguely remembered it, but it really wasn't at the forefront of my knowledge base. And she went on to talking about it, and I'm going to tell you, she said, there are so many things that are going on out here, people that are doing, not just the kids, but the other people. She said, so that when this particular opportunity came up, I wanted to know more. And she said, I know more than I need to know. More than I need to know. And she said, these are people that live right in your neighborhood. So, I mean, just by looking at the look on her face, I begin to realize that there's a lot more going on in our lives or around our lives than we're aware of. And we do have to be very, very diligent in reference to how we're doing what we are doing. I tell my wife all the time, when it's dark, you need to be on the phone or on your way home. That's simple. You need to be on the phone or on your way home. And she, you know, being a woman, sometimes it's like, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and if you want to meet me or you want to wait up, that sort of thing. And, you know, you have to be flexible. You have to be flexible because you don't want to be the tyrant in the life of someone you love. But there are sometimes when you just have to be reflect that way. I mean, you know, I mean, I'll come and get you, that sort of thing. You know what I mean? But it's the circumstances in which we live. We cannot take lightly what is going on around us. But we have to take into consideration how we can change it. And I mentioned to you what we're doing in our neighborhood. People are starting to wake up and realize, you know what? I can be neighborly. I can be this. Matter of fact, the lady I was telling you about, I didn't realize it, but most of the white neighbors in that area are related to her. We had one guy come by with a tractor, and he said, hey, Mr. Davis. And I was just going up to turn the soil for my brothers. You want me to turn yours real quick? He said, I'll do it for $20. $20? $20, that's all? My brother looked at me and said, you know what? I'm not prepared, but I'll tell you what. I'll take a rain check. He said, okay, I'll just charge up with the fuel. And he rode up the road. So you realize that in that time, when I looked at my brother, he said, man, when you build relationships, they want to help you. And I see it. So now I'm out there on a regular basis. It's relatively enjoyable. It's a breath of fresh air. Because now the young boys will be out there on the corner, you know, in the country, young boys on the corner, they're at the local store, because it's country road in most cases. And they're on their bikes, so they might be talking car to car, you know what I mean? So when you go in there, I talk entirely different, so they can hear it in my voice. And you would know the nature. So that makes conversation right there. But I utilize those opportunities to let them know you're greater than the circumstance that you're in. And you can be victimized by the circumstance if you don't use good judgment in your decision. And you'd be surprised at the people who are ready for that, but they just don't have nobody giving it to them. They get talking. They wanted to have a open community center down there so that they could have a place to go on the weekends from 6 to 10. So I said, have you ever petitioned them for it? I said, well, what do you mean? I said, get together with a group of people and just go out neighbor to neighbor and ask them to sign their petition so that they will open the place up from 6 to 10 o'clock on a Friday night. And while you're doing that, ask them if there's anyone that would seriously consider being chaperone. I said, and I tell you what, if you open that door, I'll be the first one to put in her chaperone. Of course, I'll need about a week ahead of time or 2 weeks' notice so that we can, or come to me a month early so that we can, maybe I can get 2 or 3 weeks in there. But it depends on how you present it. I got them on a different way of thinking. And sure enough, Monty was saying, you know what? The Carter boys came over to the house. Now, the Carter boys, Mr. Carter, they have 3 sons. And they basically hang out together, maybe a year or two between them. And she said that they came over with a petition about trying to get the rec center open from 6 to 10 on a Friday night and on a Saturday night so that they could have at least a dance or a record hop or something. So you know what? You never know how your idea is going to take hold. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the local sheriff and I'm going to see what is going to be required. Why? Because they probably haven't thought about that yet. And I know that he's going to want to know what's going on. And like I said, he ain't an honorary type of person. But he wants to be up on it. If he knows about this here before it even comes to him, it'd be better to, for the people who try to put this together. I don't know where it's going. And most of all I'm looking for is the opportunity to be there so I can share who I am with them in the greatness and of their potential. Because I'm going to tell you something, a lot of them, they are so inundated with the Southern concept of we can't. So when I said, why don't you try this and did you consider that? They were looking at each other dumbfounded because it's something they can do. But if they don't have anybody that's going to open that door for them, then they're still going to stay in that state. I'm looking forward to the next time when I run across one of them, I'm looking forward to what it is they have to say. Because literally, I know it's going to be good. And I've already, like I said, I've mentioned, I've dropped a little bird in the sheriff's ear. So he won't be surprised. But when I did, I told him, I said, you know, this would allow you to be able to build some relationships. And he said, well, I know all the parents and everything. I said, yeah, well, you know, sometimes it's good to know the younger set, or just in high school. So if somebody's doing well on the football team or the basketball team or made honor roll, when you say, hey, congratulations, you know who you're talking to. And he looked at me and he said, you know how many people in this county? I said, I never really thought about it. But all I was about doing was dropping a little bit of knowledge in his ear. And you know what's interesting? The last time that I seen him over at the remember I told you this Quick Mart down there. It's not even a Quick Mart, it's one of those places where you just stop and get gas and it's a grocery store. He pulled in there and I happened to be in there. And he said, how you doing? I said, fine. I said, how are you? He said, well, I'm working hard. He said, but you know what? He said, I've been approached by a couple of neighbors. And the boys, the girls, they're starting to talk about this here Saturday night record hop or whatever. I said, yeah, well, that's a good thing. He said, I'm just curious. Did you start that? I said, no, I didn't start anything. I said, I might have given them a little incentive. I said, because literally, they'll be off the corners, you'll know where they are. He said, yeah, you're right. He said, it's getting pretty good reception from the people, too. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. See, what he was telling me, that he's going to do what he can on his end. If I get to that point, he's going to be all for it. Because literally, if he has a relationship with the young community, he may be able to steer them in a positive manner. I really don't know this guy. Let me make that very clear. But at least if they're all together, they'll be able to come together, exchange ideas, and maybe we can upgrade this in a minute. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, they're all playing that rap thing. You know, it's a hard pill for me to swallow, but if that's what I got to do in order for them to get there, to get to a point where they all can come together, then maybe we can have some conversation. Maybe we can talk about sexuality or teen sex. Maybe we can talk about taking priorities in your life. Maybe we can talk about how you can grow without going to college. Well, I don't just think that they're stuck on the farm. I think, look, you're close to Charleston, so you literally, it's about a merchant marine work down there. There's schools for welding, schools for other things. Sometimes your family don't want you to move away, but hey, you can drive that every day. If you got something good that's worth that while, you never know. That's the importance of us being able to come together on a radio show. So the ideas that I've given them or heads shaking to hold up are good. I'm hoping they bear good fruit. I'm hoping that this show is planted seed. I'm hoping that that seed can grow. We need all of us. Because it's going to be some rough times ahead. I've explained to you already. These people know already that their numbers are going down. And they are going to be very upset because they think that we are them. Sometimes that just tickles me. Because all this time, you treat us like we're different, now you think we're going to do what you do? But that's neither here nor there. But listen, my brothers and my sisters, this is the Wise Wednesday, and this is Brother Davis. I do want you to understand the importance of taking control of your life, taking control of your food, doing the due diligence of understanding what it is that you're putting in your mouth. Your sanctity, your mental, psychological position makes a difference in all of your decisions. So if you're going to do something that's going to upset that or unbalance that, it's going to be a rippling effect. Consider everything you do and how it's going to affect you. And what are you doing and how is it affecting you? Because literally, there is no savior for you but you. And there's no one going to save us but us. But we can do that. You see, we're not animals. We're divine beings, placing a time and space experience to grow beyond our animal nature. Yes, we have the same things animals have. We're born with a mouth, a nose, eyes, ears, legs, organs. It's like every other animal. But what is unique about our relationship with the cosmology is that we do not have to go out here and survive. We can go out here and thrive because we are plants. We are an intelligent level of life form that is encased in a time life experience for spiritual growth. And we are growing. Even when you don't think you're growing, we're growing. Sometimes the growth is good and sometimes it's bad. Check yourself. Don't wreck yourself. Look at your habits. Are the habits good or are they bad? Are they helping you or are they hurting you? Look at your children. Are you an example for them? Or are you making an example of them? Truth comes in many forms. And you got a right to choose yours. And then build on that truth. Because regardless whether you know it or not, those people that are watching you for a reason. And those people that you are a good example to will reproduce that example over and over again. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. I appreciate you allowing me to come into your homes. And most of all, I appreciate you giving me the time to open up my base of knowledge and intelligence add to yours. I appreciate when you call and add to mine. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to give you the love that I have inside of me so that we can share it amongst others, because we are not who they think we are in spite of what's going on. Their numbers can go down to zero, and to me, all I'm going to do is the best I can for the community I'm in, to uplift the people that I love. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. I appreciate you, everybody, and I am out. Scotty, back to you, man.
All right. Thank you, Brother Davis. Tando Radio Show will be back on air tomorrow, which will be Thursday, August the 2nd at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Peace and blessings to all.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.